This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to ENN on a Wednesday evening. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
What's up, All Rise?
Thank you.
Now, speaking of All Rise, he hit a home run in his first at bat. Again, 99, baby. So coming back from the stiff neck, Aaron Judge hit a home run as well as Stanton.
You know, that's what you want to hear, right?
Yep.
Bash Brothers.
See ya!
I just came up with that nickname. What do you think?
No, that's been used already.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, the A's.
I don't recall. You know what? He's not here, but I still want to say good evening to Don.
Gladiator is 34. 35 is Titanic, another overrated movie. From Here to Eternity, 36. Saving Private Ryan, 37.
Don't you love the sound of him just digging through his bag of chips?
I love it.
Don't talk to me that way.
Sorry.
I was not on the FaceTime call with him today. He wasn't at his best, I heard.
It's not that he wasn't at his best. He appeared to not do some of the normal, how do I say this, hair grooming that he normally does. There was something a little bit off.
He's great.
But he does a tremendous job.
In life, he's done a tremendous job.
Now, let's
you know,
talk.
It's his brother's birthday today, by the way.
That's right. Happy birthday to the great Dave LaGreca.
Yeah.
And his show busted open on Sirius. What a tremendous wrestling radio program it is.
And they just hired a great producer in Mike Gunzelman.
I heard that. Congratulations are in order to Guns.
Guns is a great man.
And he does that show with my buddy Mark Henry and Bully Ray, who does a tremendous job.
Wait, Bully Ray is part of the show? I didn't know this.
Let me tell you one thing. Don't you make jokes about Bully Ray, okay? It's in your best interest.
All right.
The man has calves bigger than your head.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's a big calf.
Anyways, last minute deal. Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans beat the deadline. A 4-year, $50 million deal. Michael, that's about $12.5 million a year to you and me.
Mm-hmm.
He was the leading rusher in the league last year, 1,500 yards. They got it done just before the deal. $25.5 million guaranteed money. You know, Michael, we talk about sometimes the importance of the running back position. We know how Don feels about that. But I think we could all agree there are sometimes circumstances in which a running back still, even in 2020, can define your offense. And in the case of the Titans, a team that made the playoffs and had a very good season, that team was defined by Derrick Henry.
Oh, absolutely. And I saw a stat today that when you look at the composite of the defense that they faced, it was the worst run defense of any schedule. And the upcoming schedule also has them projected as going up against the worst run defense projected schedule was. So he's going to have a great year this year. But when you sign a contract like that with a running back, how's he going to be in years 2, 3, and 4? That's the question. But everything is lining up. When you see what Henry got, when you see what McCaffrey got, Saquon Barkley, if he has a healthy year, is going to get money that's going to dwarf both of them. Because this guy is, you know, he's the giant star. He is. He's just, and he does everything right. There's a huge story in the Post about him today that he signed the second highest sneaker deal in the history of football behind Odell Beckham Jr.
Wow.
And they actually ripped up the initial deal. That's how much they think of him. And, you know, he supposedly, his mentor in life is Bob Iger. Has him on speed dial. Wow. Talks with him all the time about, like, marketing and branding and stuff like that. This guy is ahead of his time.
You think I can get Iger on the phone?
No, I don't think you have a chance. I don't know if Bob Iger knows you exist.
I feel confident in saying he does not.
That's sad.
Dak Prescott did not reach a deal with the Cowboys. Let's hear from Adam Schefter about the Prescott Cowboy situation.
And we are going to have Dak Prescott's contract be a discussion next offseason, maybe the offseason after. And the topic that has not gone away for at least the last year will continue to be there going forward into the future because these two sides are dug into their positions. Basically, Dak Prescott last year was willing to play on a $2 million deal and pass up all the money he did. And he's going to be doing the same thing here on a $31.4 million franchise tag. But hard to imagine, again, we have a situation where a quarterback, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys is now headed into the last year of his contract, and the Dallas Cowboys have come out and said they have to have him on a five-year deal.
And now, that's Michael, a holdup because he, you know, he wants a four-year deal so he can get another big deal.
Now, Michael, other deals did not get done also. A.J. Green in Cincinnati, Justin Simmons in Denver. Let's see. Hunter Henry for the Chargers. And Leonard Williams for the Giants. So that is not financially playing out well for the G-men.
It's a deal it's going to be one of the defining deals of Dave Gettleman's GM stint. I don't understand it. To this day, I don't understand it. I'm not saying Leonard Williams is a bad player. Leonard Williams is a run stopper. He never gets to the quarterback, ever. I'm not going to pay a guy who doesn't get to the quarterback that much money. And because they're paying him that much money on a franchise tag, and it might be more because he's appealing that he should be considered a defensive end because in a 3-4 he was playing on the end, and then he would get over $17 million. It's a ridiculous deal. And then let's say he has this breakout year, they're going to have to sign him to obscene money. He's not that player. He's a good player. He's not a great player. He's not Derrick Henry. He's just not. He's not a player that you look at and say he's an elite NFL player. He's a good player who stops the run. I'm not paying a run stopper that much money. I'm not.
Brian Kelly was on Get Up and talked about his beliefs about the future of college football next season.
I think, like everybody has talked about, everything is on the table at this point. So I won't get into the specifics because I don't know that anybody really has a great idea of what it looks like. I know there's some models out there, certainly, but the models of the professional teams will give us a better understanding of are we going to delay this and try to play it in the fall, or do we certainly have to just scrap it and then begin putting together something for the spring? Because, look, we're going to play football this year. It just depends on when we're going to play football.
Now, obviously, Kelly's in an interesting situation because Notre Dame, you know, doesn't have a conference. So I don't know, but at the same time, they're a really powerful school, and you have to imagine he's having conversations with people who matter. But they are in a unique circumstance in terms, you know, from an information standpoint. We know already the Patriot League and the Ivy League are not happening. Fall sports will not be happening at all.
But the difference with that, Peter, those are not money-producing conferences. You know, they're there for the kids to play football. But in the SEC and the Big Five football conferences, I'm sorry, they support the entire sports budget. If that doesn't happen, they're going to have to cut sports. But I still don't think that's a reason that you play. And then, you know, I don't know. Ed Orgeron comes out and said, you know, we expect our stadium to be full. You know, just put masks on. These people are out of their mind. And down south, though, if you open up the stadium, they'll come.
It really is crazy. I don't understand. I don't. I can't see college football happening. I have my worries about pro football, but certainly college football. Rudy Gobert, Michael, you're not going to like this.
Okay.
He's not a huge fan of the NBA's anonymous tip hotline.
But he's a huge fan of touching things during a pandemic and breathing on people. Rudy, go away.
He said, I don't know if anyone's going to use the tip hotline, but I think it's sort of petty. At the same time, you want to make sure that people respect the rules, but I don't think the line will really help at that point.
Well, let's talk about this, because I know you always make fun of narcomania and stuff like that. You're dealing with your life here. So if somebody gets out of line and is taking advantage of a lack of security or a lack of attention to detail, that's weakening that so-called bubble that's protecting you. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you go to the hotline and go, you know, this guy's doing the wrong thing? I mean, you're dealing with a life. It's not like snitching gets you stitches. You know, if you don't snitch and it continues to go on, it can make you dead. What's wrong with these people?
Did you hear what happened to Jimmy Butler last night with the hotline?
No.
An anonymous tip came in to the snitch hotline. And according to Chris Hayes on TNT, a security guard got a report of what turned out to be Jimmy Butler dribbling a basketball late at night.
See, now that's not what the tip hotline is for. I guess he was dribbling a basketball in his room.
Which could be annoying, by the way. I would complain.
Oh,
I would
okay, but that's not
that.
Breaking protocol. That tip hotline is not there because there's loud noise in the room. It's there. This guy's breaking the protocol, and we could get sick because of it. The fact that he's dribbling in his room is actually kind of endearing.
Can you wait for the 30 for 30 that's sure to come out of this entire situation?
It should be interesting. I just want the situation to that everybody completes their season, nobody gets sick. That's what I want, rather than a 30 for 30. So that even if they have one, it'd be a good 30 for 30.
No, but I just mean, let's say it completes, it's successful, it's awesome. But the stories of sort of feuds that will develop and friendships that will develop.
Picture a time when you're stuck inside a bubble. Not a real bubble. A bubble with a hole in it.
Is that right?
A bubble with a hole in it.
That's a problem.
The new 30 for 30, coming to ESPN in 2029. Some players following the rules.
Why?
Some calling the snitch hotline.
Okay.
Others crossing the street to get Domino's. And others flying out their LA work for a good time. It's not a bubble if there's a hole in it.
A bubble I know.
With
Hey, James Harden has joined the bubble.
Jimmy.
Took him 5 extra days, so he'll have to have his initial quarantine in his room, as everyone has upon arrival. But Harden has arrived. We still don't know what the delay was. But either way, Jim Harden is in the house.
Hey, buddy, with masks being an important thing, mm-hmm. That beard renders the mask ineffective. It really does.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Have you seen Carmelo, by the way?
Yeah. Skinny Carmelo.
I mean, the guy's flying all over the place. It looks like he weighs 185. A month ago, wasn't Carmelo not even hot on playing?
Yeah. Maybe he knows, because there's a lot of rumors that the Knicks want him back to help the young players, and Leon Rose loves him, so he wants to be in great shape and show that he can play.
I got to tell you, I'm impressed.
He almost looks too skinny.
It's odd.
He's
I won't lie.
Like the NBA version of you right now.
Wow, is that right?
Yeah, you love that.
Is that right?
Now, Michael, I don't think you were here when I brought that clip to the table, were you?
I don't think I was. I enjoy it, though.
I'm glad you do. It's Marshawn Lynch being interviewed, and he's being asked about British slang, okay? And they throw up the word, and he has to try to guess what it is, and then they sort of reveal what it is. And the British term is, how's your father?
Right.
Do you know the term, how's your father?
No.
I've heard it, but I didn't really know what it meant either. And then it's revealed on the iPad that it means sex. And then Marshawn's immediate response
is that right?
Which I just, I don't know why.
So when you say, how's your father, you want to?
I think it's like a turn on. I'm going to
Google it. I would put it under the heading of a turn off.
Someone asking, how's your father?
Yeah. I don't like it.
How's your father slang? Here we go. How fast do you think I can get this?
Hopefully faster than it's happening.
Wow.
Andrew said he remembers Austin Powers saying it.
That's how I know it. I won't say exactly what he says. It's a little crude, but it says sexual intercourse. Example. Example. I popped around Mary's for a bit how's your father?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I don't like it.
Those wacky.
Is that so?
Is that right?
Well, is that right? So.
Is that so? Changes it completely. So,
can we do a little good for our listeners? There's been a massive Twitter hack.
Is that true?
Yeah, by Bitcoin scammers. So these are the people that have been hacked: Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Joe Biden, Warren Buffett, Kanye West, Michael Bloomberg, Apple, Uber, Jeff Bezos, and Barack Obama. And what they do is, if you read this tweet, don't fall victim. I am giving back to the community. All Bitcoin sent to the address below will be sent back doubled. If you send 1,000, I'll send back 2,000. Only doing this for 30 minutes, and then they have the address. So all the men that I said, they got hacked, and that tweet appeared under their authorized address.
Is that right?
Is that right?
Is that right?
Oh, man. I heard someone tweeted me something like that about everything's being hacked on Twitter. I had no idea what they're talking about. By the way, is that really good? Are we in a good place when we are, at this moment, people are hacking into Barack Obama and Joe Biden's Twitter accounts?
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great, Bob.
What about Donald Trump?
No.
He was good.
Yep.
Interesting.
The other presidential candidate, Kanye West, although he's dropped out, he did get hacked.
By the way, I can't believe he's out. I really was starting to feel good about his candidacy.
I just wanted to see him at the debates.
It would have been something.
Yeah.
So this is a strange story. Yesterday, things started popping up on Twitter about a strange story coming out of the Washington football team. And I'll tell you exactly what I saw. J.P. Finley, it's a collection of tweets. You had J.P. saying, a real busy week, and it's not all going to be about the name, and it's not all going to be pretty. That's from J.P. Finley. Next up, Jason LaConfora. You know Jason LaConfora, don't you?
Sure.
The great. He wrote, the warped and toxic culture of the Washington football team is about to be exposed in a sickening fashion again. Barstool Nate reported, from what I understand, it's bad. Julie Donaldson from NBC said, what's coming is disappointing and sad. Scott Abraham, ABC7 in Washington. There's much more going on at Redskins Park than a name change. I'm told by a source there will be some more news that comes out tomorrow and other than the name change. And it's not good. I did not get specifics, but get ready, people. Then, today, sort of out of the blue, or completely out of the blue, Larry Michael, the lead play-by-play announcer of the radio broadcast in Washington for the last 16 seasons, announced his retirement. He started doing pregame and postgame, joined the front office, serving as the chief content officer and a senior VP overseeing video content and TV shows. Put out a statement, after 16 years, my time with the organization is over. As of today, I'll be retiring from my position with the team. As a lifelong Washingtonian, I was blessed to work with a lot of great people. I want to thank everyone who contributed over the years. I'm especially grateful to Dan Snyder for giving me the opportunity. On to the next chapter. The team declined to comment.
Yeah, people don't retire in their 50s for no reason. And they don't give up jobs like this. We're only 32 of them.
Now, obviously it makes you think, are these things connected? I'm hearing rumors that it could relate. Do you remember? I think I did it in ENN a few years ago. Do you remember the story about cheerleaders and that trip?
Yeah.
And like funny business of them basically coercing cheerleaders into being like dates for rich people, more or less, for lack of a better word.
I recall the story.
I'm hearing it could be, the story could be related to that. I heard the story was coming out today. It's still not out. Now they're saying tomorrow, so we'll see. But another day in Washington.
You mean really. the football team? Because there's a lot of things going on in Washington these days.
It's a really good point by you. Greg Olsen will join Fox Sports as an analyst when he decides to retire. They love locking.
Can I tell you, I don't want to be controversial, and I think that you probably have a take on this as well.
Please be controversial.
I think Olsen's good on the air. I really do. But you're signing him to a futures contract? He's that good? Is he that good? That, like, he's playing with Seattle this year. So they've done essentially what NBC did with Drew Brees. Is he that good? Do you listen to Greg Olsen and go, I mean, I listened to Tony Romo, and I didn't think he, I mean, just seeing him interviewed as a player, I didn't think he'd be great. But the people at CBS saw something, and they were dead right. You heard him on the air the first time, you go, wow, he's special. He's Madden-esque. I listen to Greg Olsen, and I go, he's not bad. But to the point that they're signing him to a futures contract where he's already assured of being the number two guy with Kevin Burkhardt. Do you hear that when you hear him? That I gotta have him.
No. I thought he did a nice job.
Yeah, like, nothing offensive. I thought he has a lot of potential, but wow. So he could actually, Peter, choose to play again after this year, and they're still willing to wait. I think NBC knows Drew Brees is. This is it. But Greg Olsen has told Fox, I might play after this year, too. I wish that someday somebody wants me that badly.
It is crazy, right? I mean, like, he's pretty good. But, like, if you're a former player and you can put three sentences together consecutively, I mean, there's a market for you.
I guess. It's got to be the combination of a former player and a good player. Because there are a lot of people out there that are really, really good, but they weren't high-profile players.
Listen, he's good. He's good. I'm surprised by this. It's not a Tony Romo situation, but hey. I mean, good for him. Get the money. Kenny Stills was arrested at a protest for Breonna Taylor. The police are saying that Stills was one of 87 people arrested, including some other celebrities, after protesting at the home of Daniel Cameron, who's Kentucky's attorney general, who has not done anything that he needs to do in the Breonna Taylor case. He's facing Stills, though. He will face justice, of course. Stills is facing three charges, including intimidating a participant in the legal process, which is a felony. Of course, Breonna Taylor was the 26-year-old black woman who was shot 8 times to death while sleeping in her bed by plainclothes officers serving a narcotics no-knock warrant at her apartment. So, I can't believe there's a felony charge there, but apparently there is. The NFLPA is fighting against the NFL status for coronavirus. And the NFL has responded to the NFL's counterproposal on a coronavirus-related protocol. Dan Graziano is reporting that one of the major issues remaining in this dispute is whether a player who tests positive for the virus and is sidelined should be put on the non-football injury list. NFL teams are not required to pay players placed on the NFL list, and therefore the union is pushing back on this. Michael, isn't that like a no-brainer?
You would think so. When I read it, I go, wow, this is a thing? Somebody gets COVID-19 while playing for you and then you don't want to pay them?
I don't understand.
Only the NFL could get away with it. Only. That's the only one.
Yeah, I was lost when I saw that. That'll do it for ENN.
Interesting.
On this Wednesday evening. I thought it was thought-provoking.
Yeah, thought-provoking.
I thought it was deep at times.
Yeah.
Dark.
Had depth to it, sure.
Mysterious.
I don't know if I saw that, but yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.